Hey Sandra, wir haben uns ja lange nicht mehr gesehen.
Grüß dich, Nadine. Mensch, du siehst ja toll aus.
Ja, danke. Ich habe mein plus fürs gesündere Ich entdeckt.
Was?
Komm, ich zeig's dir.
Die Bewegungskurse der AOK Plus. Kostenfrei für AOK Plus Versicherte. Entdecke dein Plus fürs gesündere Ich und starte mit unserem Self-Check. Ganz einfach online auf aok.de. Aus Liebe zur Gesundheit. AOK Plus.
Hey Spotifyers, Damson Idris here to celebrate Tommy Hilfiger's Apex GP Collection.
Angetrieben vom Nervenkitzel der Geschwindigkeit und der Kraft des außergewöhnlichen Styles vereint die Capture Collection von Tommy Hilfiger performanceorientiertes Design mit grenzenlosem Selbstbewusstsein. Das ist mehr als nur ein Look. Es ist die Uniform für alle, die ihre Träume verwirklichen wollen.
Discover Tommy Hilfiger's Limited Edition Apex GP Collection, inspired by F1 the Movie, only in cinemas June 25th.
This is True Crime Psychology and Personality, where we discuss the pathology behind some of the most horrific crimes and those who committed them from a scientifically informed perspective.
I'm Dr. Todd Grande. I have a PhD in counselor education and supervision, and I'm a licensed professional counselor of mental health. Dr. Todd Grande, that's my YouTube channel.
Today's question is, can I analyze the case of Matthew Burke, Tabitha Hodges, and Elton Stevens? First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. This case takes place in the year 2020 in the state of Alabama. It primarily involves three people, Matthew Burke, Tabitha Hodges, and Elton Stevens. Matthew Amos Burke had been arrested several times in his life for a variety of offenses, including tampering with evidence, resisting arrest, carrying a pistol without a permit, and unlawful possession of various types of drugs. He had spent 3 years in prison for trafficking methamphetamine and was out on probation. Tabitha Nicole Hodges had been arrested for unlawful manufacture of a controlled substance 10 years earlier. Matthew and Tabitha lived in a trailer in Renlap, Alabama, a small town north of Birmingham with a population of about 2,500. The couple cared for two children, a 13-year-old son, and a 7-year-old daughter. Elton Stevens Jr. was 75 years old and lived in a rented house in Birmingham, Alabama, after separating from his second wife. He was exceptionally wealthy. Elton retired in 2006 from a company called EBSCO Industries, which his father had started in 1944. EBSCO was ranked in the top 200 largest privately held companies in the United States. The company developed real estate, had journal and magazine subscription services, and manufactured hunting-related products. Elton had sleep apnea and used an app on his phone called SnoreLab. This app recorded audio as he was sleeping. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Friday, September 11, 2020, Matthew Burke and Tabitha Hodges left their trailer in Renlap, Alabama, and drove to the rented house in Birmingham, where Elton Stevens lived. It was about a 35-minute drive. The couple arrived at approximately 2 a.m. They broke through the front door of his house and took the keys to Elton's Maserati sedan. The keys were on the kitchen table. Elton did not wake up as this was happening. The couple drove the Maserati back to their trailer and picked up the two children. The family then returned to the house that Elton rented, arriving at about 7 a.m. They entered the house and made themselves comfortable. Matthew and Tabitha took several items, including credit cards, a shotgun, a revolver, watches, a cooler, and a camera. At around 8:30 a.m., Matthew approached Elton's bed and woke him up with the words, quote, "Sir, hello, why are you in my house, sir?" unquote. Elton was clearly confused by Matthew's question and explained that he lived there. He rented the house. Matthew claimed that he bought the house 2 months ago and was moving his family into it right now. Elton asked Matthew if he wanted him to leave. Matthew demanded to see credentials and wanted to know who Elton rented the house from. Elton asked if they could go into the living room, but Matthew said no, claiming that his family was in there. After Elton indicated that Matthew was scaring him, Matthew responded, quote, I'm not trying to scare you, bud. If I was trying to scare you, I would scare you, unquote. Elton asked if he could leave the house, but Matthew wouldn't let him. After Elton repeated his desire to go to the living room, Matthew demanded that Elton treat his fiancée and children nicely, or he would hurt him. Before they walked into the living room, Elton put his phone in his pocket, and it continued to record the conversation because the snoring app was still running. Matthew introduced his family to Elton and resumed the awkward conversation about who owned the house. After Matthew inquired as to the value of the house, Elton responded that it was valued at about $2 or $3 million. Matthew claimed that he paid 2 point something for the house and everything in it. He could not remember exactly how much he paid. He was concerned about getting ripped off. Elton offered to write Matthew a check, but Matthew said he wanted the house. Elton told Matthew that he could take anything he wanted, but Matthew said it was all his anyway. He already paid for it, an apparent reference to his imaginary purchase of the house for 2 point something million. Matthew talked about how he would do anything for his family and promised them better. Elton offered to help Matthew out, but Matthew did not seem to really have a plan. He asked Elton if he owned any properties. Elton talked about the new house in Birmingham, as well as a 500-acre farm in Bibb County. Matthew and Tabitha really liked the idea of the farm and asked if they could take the farm in place of the house they were all standing in at that moment. Elton explained that the process to transfer ownership of the property was complex and would require other people being involved. Matthew then changed the topic from property to money, asking how much money Elton could transfer to his account. Elton claimed that he did not have a lot of money and asked, "What would make you leave me alone?" Matthew responded, "Forever or just for today?" As this bizarre conversation continued, Matthew and Tabitha talked about how the children were hungry. Elton offered them chicken salad. Matthew decided that chicken salad was acceptable, but he also wanted crackers. He searched through the cabinets, but he only found Wheat Thins. Matthew was not happy. His Wheat Thin fueled anger was growing out of control. At this point, Elton offered Matthew $10,000. He said they could drive down to his bank and he would write Matthew a check. Matthew rejected this offer, explaining how Elton wouldn't live 10 more minutes for $10,000. He stated that they were going to take a road trip. Everyone departed from the rented house at about 10:30 a.m. Matthew and Elton were in Matthew's Chevrolet Tahoe. Tabitha and the two children were in Elton's Toyota Tacoma. After driving on Highway 280, Matthew turned onto University Boulevard. As the Tahoe slowed down, Elton tried to jump out, but Matthew grabbed him by the shirt. Matthew said, quote, "You do that again, I will kill you and your family," unquote. Elton apologized and the kidnapping continued. Matthew told Elton about how he just finished serving 3 years in prison and claimed that he worked for some type of big heroin dealer. Matthew and Tabitha ended up driving to their trailer in Renlap, Alabama. They took Elton inside and resumed discussions about money. Matthew said, quote, "So tell me the truth now, bub. How much money can you get your hands on, say, wire into our account today?" Unquote. After Elton told him $500,000, Matthew responded, "Okay, we want half of it." Elton agreed to these terms and used Tabitha's phone to call the bank. He instructed a bank worker to transfer the money into her account. While waiting for the transfer to take place, the trio talked on the back porch of the trailer. Elton asked the couple what they were going to do with the money. Tabitha pulled up images on her phone and showed him a 5-bedroom house in the town of Renlap that was for sale for $250,000. She indicated that it was their dream house and now they could buy it for them and the kids. Matthew mentioned how they were going to get married at the house and he wanted Elton to come to the wedding. Tabitha chimed in and said, "Yeah, we want you to be a pallbearer." It doesn't sound like Tabitha understood what happens at a wedding, although one could argue maybe she understood all too well.
Hi, I'm Alicia.
And I'm Stacy.
And we make Trashy Divorces, everybody's favorite good podcast about bad relationships.
Looking for something true crimey without the gore or the body count?
We've been churning out funny, feisty, feminist episodes since 2019. So if you're looking to put some scandalous stories told well into your ears this summer, check out Trashy Divorces, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Trust us, we've covered someone you love.
Or someone you love to hate.
In January of 2008, real estate agent Lindsay Buziak received a call from a woman who said that she and her husband were urgently seeking a home with a budget of $1 million. Eager for the commission a deal like this would bring, Lindsay found the perfect home and set up a showing. Just 1 hour after the showing, Buziak's colleagues found her lying in a pool of blood in the master bedroom with multiple stab wounds. To this day, the case remains unsolved. I'm Savannah Breimer, host of the true crime podcast Killer Instinct, the research-backed show that covers cases like Lindsay's and aims to bring justice to the families of victims of horrific crimes. Each month, I explore a new sector of true crime, from serial killers to stalkers to female killers. For each case, I break down the moments leading up to the crime, debunk past theories, and share the experiences of those affected by these tragedies. Join me every Wednesday as I unveil the truth behind some of the darkest cases in history. Listen and subscribe to Killer Instinct wherever you get your podcasts.
About 2 hours after calling the bank, the transfer was completed. Matthew, Tabitha, and Alton went to the bank in the Tacoma. Tabitha checked her balance at an ATM and verified the transfer of $250,000 was complete. She came back to the truck and said, quote, "We got our house, baby," unquote. The trio then made their way back to the house that Elton rented. Matthew told Elton that he would have to kill him and his family if he told the police what happened. They arrived at the house at 3:45 p.m. Matthew and Elton exited the Tacoma. Matthew explained to Elton how they were going to borrow his pickup truck for a couple of weeks. Elton said, "Just keep it." Matthew had taken Elton's phone at one point. He now returned it and left. Just like that, Elton was alone at the house he rented. The kidnappers were gone. He went back inside the house and sat down for a few moments. Elton was worried about calling the authorities because he thought that Matthew might come back. After trying to call a few relatives, Elton drove to his former house where his wife lived. He told her what happened and was able to get in contact with two of his siblings. He said that he wasn't sure about contacting the police. He was thinking that it would probably not be a good idea. Elton's sister ended up calling a retired FBI agent, who in turn called the police. Law enforcement officers arrived at about 6 p.m. The GPS on Elton's phone had recorded his movements, which allowed the police to find Matthew and Tabitha at their trailer. The police paid the couple a visit the next day, September 12. Matthew was arrested and taken to the police station, and Tabitha was questioned at the trailer. Each of them talked to the police. Here is the story that Matthew told the police. He said that he and Tabitha had traveled to the rented house where Elton lived because he was an old friend. He claimed that Elton might have been Tabitha's sugar daddy in the past. During the visit, Matthew talked about how he and Tabitha wanted to buy a house, but they were turned down for a loan. At this point, Elton declared that he would give the couple the house as a wedding present, and he transferred the money into the account. Now moving to the story that Tabitha provided to the police. She lied and said that she had worked as a maid and that she had cleaned Elton's rented house on three occasions. Tabitha falsely claimed that Elton had committed an assault of a sexual nature against her. She drove to the rented house to get revenge. Matthew followed her, and they confronted Elton. In exchange for staying quiet, Elton gave the couple $250,000, his pickup truck, and all the other items that the couple had stolen. Tabitha claimed that Matthew didn't have anything to do with it. The police did not believe the stories that Matthew and Tabitha supplied. The couple was arrested and charged with several offenses, including kidnapping, which is a federal offense. Tabitha pleaded guilty to kidnapping and bank fraud and was sentenced to 12 years in federal prison. Matthew pleaded guilty to the same charges and received 17 years in prison. Under Matthew's plea agreement, all the state charges were dismissed. After being sentenced, he was transferred back to a jail in Jefferson County. The federal government planned on transporting Matthew from there to a federal prison. On December 10, 2021, a sheriff's deputy realized that there were no state charges against Matthew. Again, as part of Matthew's plea bargain, the state charges had been dismissed. Paperwork showing that he should have been detained for the federal government was not left at the jail. Therefore, Matthew was released. 7 days later, Matthew was spotted in a town about a half hour outside of Birmingham. The police arrested him at a traffic stop after he left a Chevron gas station. Matthew was eventually taken to federal prison. Now, moving to my analysis. Here are my thoughts on a few areas that stood out to me in this case. Item number one. Matthew and Tabitha gave themselves pretty much no chance of escaping the consequences of their behavior. Just a few examples of the many mistakes they made. The couple took children along for a kidnapping. They were caught with Elton's property. Tabitha used her own bank account for the transfer of Elton's money. They returned Elton's phone to him, which contained the location of their trailer, and they were recorded by an app on Elton's phone. After letting Elton go, Matthew and Tabitha did not even bother to coordinate their stories. They ended up giving the police two different narratives. It would not have mattered if they had the same story given the other evidence, but it's still surprising that they didn't even take the most basic steps to avoid being convicted. Item number two, it's not clear what Matthew and Tabitha actually wanted to gain from the kidnapping. Like, why did they perpetrate the crime in the first place? Did they want the rented house where Elton was living? Did they want to buy that other house for $250,000? Matthew and Tabitha aimlessly wandered around the rented house, stealing things and having a bizarre conversation with Elton. It's almost like they believed they could do whatever they wanted and everything would work out in the end. This was their big day. Now they would finally have their dream house. The couple tried to transform their fantasy into a reality by simply committing a kidnapping. I guess they thought if they only asked for half the money that Elton had available, they wouldn't seem too greedy. Like, because Elton would still have $250,000 for himself, they could still be friends. They even wanted Elton to attend their wedding. The couple had no empathy for Elton and no understanding of how kidnapping is frowned upon. Item number three. There is this sense that the perpetrators were so inept, it took Elton by surprise, even above and beyond the kidnapping part. Like, he just did not understand how severe the critical thinking skills deficit was with this couple. For example, when the couple inquired about taking possession of his 500-acre farm, Elton responded by detailing the difficulties associated with transferring properties. He should have simply written up a fake contract and said, "The farm is yours." I don't think the couple would have known the difference. They were probably not experts in real estate or contract law. Elton was in a tough position. His life was being threatened, but he was also dealing with a pair of criminals who were erratic, indecisive, and comically unprepared. I think this case underscores how disorienting a traumatic experience can be. Elton was so frazzled and perplexed by the crime, he didn't even want to call the police afterward. Now, moving to my final thoughts. Elton probably believed he was safe in his rented house. No one expects intruders to break in and make incoherent demands. The ordeal that Elton endured was unthinkably horrible. The perpetrators threatened him, liberated his property, took his money, and wanted him to attend a wedding. Ultimately, the offenders did not get their dream house, but at least they will not suffer from housing insecurity. They are guaranteed to stay in their new accommodations for many years to come.
This has been True Crime Psychology and Personality from Ars Longa Media. This content is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Ars Longa, Vita Brevis.